Ladies and gentlemen, the microphones are on and the television cameras are rolling. Tonight's City Council meeting is called to order. Just a gentle reminder to the members of the City Council to make certain your microphones are on if you should ask any questions or make any statements. I will kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call. William Barkley?
Present.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Paul Dakota?
Here.
Marty Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Present.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Ray Pollack?
Here.
Robert Piper?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg. We always begin the meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance. I would like to ask... I was looking at my old high school coach, and he nodded no, don't ask me. Okay, the heck with that. How about the guy who's not related to me, Mr. Rob Burns, to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Our first order of business tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is a presentation by Mr. William Tupper, Metra's Chief Operations Officer, on the proposed third rail project to take place within the beautiful confines of Geneva, Illinois. Mr. Tupper is joined by two of his colleagues tonight, whose names are not unfamiliar with anybody here in the City Council. I'm going to ask that Mr. Tupper first make his remarks, and if anybody in the audience has any questions or comments for Mr. Tupper, they're certainly welcome to ask those questions or make those comments, but in doing so, I invite you to the podium. Please state your name and your address. The same, of course, would go for the council following public commentary. And I should remind everyone, although I know it's not necessary, that tonight our friends from Metra are here tonight as friends indeed. We have had a long-standing, good, solid, positive relationship with Metra. We enjoy being a town that has a train depot in it. We enjoy the services that Metra provides our residents and the residents throughout the Fox Valley. So tonight's a fact-finding mission, if you will. So any questions or comments should be asked in the respectful tone that we expect to be conducted here within City Hall. So with that, Mr. Tupper, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me here today. We'll get the boards here so I can make the presentation. I'm going to actually start with the ones on the other side here.
Do we have similar slides that will be broadcast as well on the screen?
No.
Okay. We have these slides in our packets, though, correct?
No.
Excellent. You know what we're going to do? We'll make the presentation, then we're going to turn these slides around for those in the audience to take a gander at as well.
Okay. That's fine. I can do that as I...
Okay.
You know what... Some brief introductory remarks. As you're all aware, in 2001, Metra signed a full funding grant agreement with the Federal Transit Authority to provide service, extend service out to Elburn, you know, including relocating the yard out to Elburn. That's the service that started out there in January of 2006. You know, we finished the project under budget and ahead of schedule. And we requested, we had about $8.5 million left in the project budget when we were done. We made a request to the FTA that if, could we have that money to spend? In the normal course of events, if you finish under budget with a full funding grant agreement, you lose that money. It goes back into the pot to be used by whoever. We never want to do that. We've always worked with them to spend our full allocation. They agreed to that with the idea that it had to be spent within the area of the work scope for the extension project. The work scope for that extension project was basically from Geneva West to Elburn. So we looked at what work we had to do. We always have an ongoing relationship with the Union Pacific Railroad to try to improve both our services, both the freight operation and our commuter service, you know, to run more on better on-time performance, better operation from that aspect. And so what I said, we worked with them with a task force they set forth, and we've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And what we came up with that will fit the requirements of the federal government, and it also is something that we've been working for and hope to realize in the future, is one of our bottlenecks here is the fact that we have three tracks that basically run from Elmhurst to West Chicago for our operation. And then it becomes two tracks at the west end of West Chicago, Roosevelt Road. And it's a two-track operation from there to where we started adding the third track for the New START project near Pat Kessinger Road. That is obviously a bottleneck where you go from three tracks down to two tracks and back up to three. So our ultimate goal would be to extend the third track all the way from Peck Road to West Chicago. In the short term, though, we have the money, this money that's available to spend. The Union Pacific has agreed to match our $8.5 million with $8.5 million of their own funding, which we believe would be enough to at least get the project started. So that and get as far as basically the Fox, just short of the Fox River. So that's the idea behind this money. The ultimate goal is to extend it all the way. There is no funding available for that right now. I mean, you're all aware of the capital bill and all the issues with that. So I'm not going to, you know, talk about that at all. You know, but the ultimate goal is to extend it all the way so that we could work with them and have better performance and maybe expand our service someday if that's at all possible. All the work is within the existing Union Pacific right-of-way. You know, there's no property acquisitions involved for this project at all. One reason I am doing the talking here, as part of the agreement with the Union Pacific, Metro agreed to do the environmental work, which is what prompted the initial meeting we had with the village staff. So that's why I'm the primary speaker here tonight, because that was part of the deal, because we're more used to dealing with that than the Union Pacific to meet the requirements, because it's ultimately a submittal that goes to the Federal Transit Administration for their approval. Okay, so let me just point at the, I have some boards here that basically don't just show where the tracks will be. There has been no engineering done to date. This is really just a line on a plan, on a map. We know it will fit within the right-of-way. We have not you know, measured out any exact distances or anything yet. But so that the ultimate goal would be to get the approvals we need from the Federal Transit Administration this year, start engineering in 2009, and possibly start construction in either late 2010 or early 2011. And depending on exactly when we start, finish up in 2011 or 2012. With that, let me just talk about the board here. We're starting at, here's Peck Road here. Here's the UP track here. There are three tracks right up into this area here. And as we show here, the yellow line, we're adding a third track all the way. Nope. Maybe. Do is turn this around and put the boards over here, and then I'll switch them and have them face the audience when I get done talking about it so that we can all see. So basically this just very simplistic shows the map here to the edge.
Sir, can you put it here just so this side of the room can see what you were just pointing out?
Okay. I'm sorry. So this is Peck Kessinger Road right here. This is heading east that way towards Chicago. Here's the third track that was built as part of the new project, and then it's two tracks now to the east of there. And so the yellow represents the additional track that would be built. And as I pointed out to the council, there's Peck Road, Kessinger. There's the third track starting up towards me here, is heading towards Chicago.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Would the gentleman prefer that questions be broached at this point in time or when he's finished with his presentation?
I would prefer that the questions be asked following his presentation, but again, we're going to follow the protocol that our audience members can ask questions first, and then the council will follow. And Mr. Tupper is staying tonight at the Harrington, so we can go to him afterward and ask him. On UP's dime, correct?
No.
No? On E&J's dime?
How about drinks?
Drinks are included, Mr. Dakota.
Oh, thank you.
This is just a continuation of the map I just showed you here with Randall Road here. I forgot to mention, but Peck Road... That bridge is wide enough for all three tracks to go underneath the existing bridge. No work has to be done there. And the same is true of Randall Road. No work has to be done to that bridge. The tracks will fit underneath there without any kind of problem. And just head further east along the Union Pacific right-of-way. Again, here's Randall Road right here, and the tracks coming east. And here's the final board. With the tracks heading east, you see obviously the Fox River right here, and you can see the third track going into the existing two tracks right about this point, just short of the river. I have some blow-ups of the station area to talk about, so I'll get the details about that and show you some more of the details about the blow-up. So this is the only two crossings in the area are Western and then 3rd Street down at the station. The bridge over 31 is only a two-track bridge. That will require a new bridge be built for the third track. You have already asked us, the city has already asked us to look at when we do that, if it's possible to widen the existing bridge so you can fit sidewalks underneath the long Route 31 there. We have agreed to look at that in the engineering phase. We're not far enough along at this point to say yes or no to that. So we're going to look at that. That was one of the requests made, so we will do that.
And the new bridge will be painted.
Again, here's the river, west to east, there's Western, here's the station area, like I said, I'll have a blow for that, and here's the Route 31 bridge that I talked about, so you can see it coming back in there. As I stated, this is all part of an environmental review. As part of any environmental review, you prepare alternatives.
Yes.
The one place to prepare an alternative for this work wasn't the station area. You know, obviously, we have to put a third track in.
It'll never happen.
So basically, we have two alternatives. Here's the station, the depot building. You have the third track coming in here, coming through this area. Obviously, that requires moving the platform to the outside of the new track, out over this way. So there's going to be about 94 parking spaces lost in this area.
Oh, boy.
One of the ideas is, the village has completed the design for a third deck on the parking garage, which I believe is around 180 spaces, mm-hmm. So that would more than replace the 94 that would be lost as part of the moving out the third track. Obviously, it would require some more new shelters to be built on there, and this is the alternative that Metro would prefer to do. And I believe the city has indicated that they believe that would be their preference also. Again, here's to orient yourself. Here's the depot. Here's 3rd Street. When the third track comes through, we would have to relocate the platform to the outside of that. Lose the parking spots along in this area here. The other alternative, which, as I said, is not Metro's preference, but we prepared it as part of the environmental report,
So we'll show it here. We'd basically leave the platform where it is today and build a third track to the outside of that.
Why would you do that?
This is an environment.
Mr. Tupper, don't even respond. We're going to hold off on questions until the very end of Mr. Tupper's presentation. Once again, we'll have the audience members ask the questions first. We will be receiving hard copies of these documents. We will be receiving additional overhead copies of these documents so that in the future, when citizens ask us, we can forward these documents to our constituents who are also curious as to what's going on. Is that correct, Mr. Tupper?
Yes. I apologize, Mayor. That was just a total reaction.
That's okay. No problem.
As I said, this was one of the two alternatives. It is not our preference to do this one. I mean, it would be inconvenient for the riders. They'd be getting off and have to walk around. So I don't envision this being built this way. But again, as part of the environmental process, you show alternatives and what various options are available. Some of them aren't always the greatest options, but you still show them. Go forward, and hopefully you usually pick the best option and go with that, what everybody agrees to. So this shows the platform remaining in place, a new third track built to the south of that. You still lose the parking spots where that was gone. But as I said, before you can see the drawing, this is obviously very inconvenient for anybody that's parked here. If they got off the train down here, they'd be walking down here and walking back. You know, not a good option. So, not our preference. As I said, we're looking at completing this environmental report shortly, submitting it to the federal government, and hopefully, like I said, beginning engineering later on this year with construction by 2011, to late 2010 or 2011. So that concludes my presentation.
The folks on the south side of the room, can you, obviously I bet you can't see those too well, can you? I'm going to ask the handsome devil who chose not to wear a tie tonight to assist and move those suckers over there. And if there's any questions, fire away at first at all the... This is great. Now you block the people who are raising their hands. It's awesome, man. Sir, please join us. And again, just for our benefit, state your name and your address. That'd be great.
Glenn Moore, 821 Cheever.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
609 Cheever. And I would like to know if it's been determined that all of the work is going to be done from the south of the center line of the existing track. That's one question. The second one is, I'd like to know, is how is it going to be used until the extension is made on the way to West Chicago? Are we going to be parking trains right there with the throttle very high the way it's has been before you address that problem?
Great questions. Thank you. Mr. Tupper, could I ask you to move that easel toward right behind Mr. Maladra, who is fully bonded and insured in case they're damaged?
Okay, yes, it's envisioned at this point that all the work would be to the south of the existing track. And while I can't speak to the UP, we expect it to be an operational track, just like a through track, just like we have other places. I live in Wheaton, so I have experience with the, and on the west side of Wheaton, by the way, where the UP parks freight trains. If not every day, virtually every day. They worked very hard with the city of Wheaton and to locate locomotives so that they were not in a residential area. And so the complaints ended when they did this a number of years ago. I can attest to that from where I live, that all I see is the tail end of the train without any locomotives. They are further to the east from my house. Near a little industrial park, where you have an industrial park on one side, and actually the Wheaton Public Works Department and Police Department on the other side, so there are no residences within quite a distance there. I'm not sure what it is, but that's the suggested place that Wheaton did. I can assure you that the UP does not want to hear your complaints, so they don't want to hear the protests. It's much easier for them just to leave the trains where they park today out west of Geneva.
Time lapse between when it would be finished to the river. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen on the third rail
Mr. Tupper, again, we suspect that we have probably thousands of people tuning in worldwide for this, so I'm going to ask you to speak into the microphone. But just for those listening at home, the question was, in the interim, what's going to happen to the trains while the rail is third rail is connected from the river to West Chicago?
It will be an operating track just like the tracks are today. If the platform...
That was not the question? What was the... Mr. Moore, that's the question.
Crossover there.
I'm wondering if the commuter will be parked on the third rail.
Okay.
Until the freighters go through. That's really what I'm wondering.
In other words, do the freighters have preference while commuter trains are parked?
Always.
Okay.
Be a sidetrack.
Other than the fact that every so often your timing gets off, generally speaking, the commuter trains, by our contract with the Union Pacific, are given preference.
Right. Okay.
So they do not hold up our trains to run freight trains unless there's some operational reason something else has happened. That doesn't happen too often, but it does happen occasionally. So the operation would always give preference to the commuter trains, and then the freight trains would operate in between the commuter operation.
The other part of my question, sir, from the center line of the track, right now there's two rails, and there's got to be a center line. So we're sure that all the work is going to be done to the south. There wouldn't be any probability of the north track being moved over 3 or 4 feet so that all of the work wouldn't be done on the south side towards Cheever. I mean, you said it was in the early stages. I'm just wondering if anything like that is firmly established at this point.
No, that has not been firmly established, but the...
The two tracks are currently north of that center line.
Right.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. The tracks are not centered along the right-of-way.
Exactly.
So that is the idea behind putting the new track on the south side.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Mr. Wintergreen.
Yes.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Chuck Wintergreen, 376 Southampton Drive in the mighty First Ward. I have several questions, if I can remember them. Yeah, your plan is to put the third rail through to the river, and then at some point in time, put it from the river through to West Chicago. And so my first question is, what's the time difference there? What's the anticipated time difference to complete that third rail across the river and to West Chicago? And is that simply a matter of funding that you are not doing it now? That's question number one.
Can I respond?
Yes.
Okay.
This is like the White House press corps, isn't it? This is a follow-up.
Yes, this is an easy one to answer. Yes, it's a matter of funding.
Okay.
If we had enough funding to do the whole third track, we would do the whole track now.
So Mr. Tupper, when you made your opening statement that $17 million will, quote, start the project, I should use the term as start, meaning finish the project from Peck to the river.
Yes, that is correct.
Good.
Okay. The second part of that question was, what time delay do you anticipate between finishing at the river and completing that last part of the third rail? Or you just don't know, we don't have any money?
I don't know because we don't have any money.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, our preference would be to be able to keep on going.
Sure.
You know, maybe we have to start at the west end and work east, but by the time as we got down here, our idea is that we will be able to get some money and keep extending it. That is not a given, though. That is our hope, that we would plan on doing that.
And I would assume that should you be fortunate to receive federal funding to extend the line to West Chicago, you'd be more than happy, perhaps tickled pink, to return to this council chamber and explain to our residents east of the river how that might impact them as well.
I'd be very happy to do that.
Thank you.
You're going to take away 94 of our parking spaces. Is the cost of the new third deck and the parking garage built into your $17 million?
No, it is not. We do not have the funding for that.
You're kidding. Excuse me.
Why not? Why were we allowed to build parking spaces on the right-of-way so that you could take them away?
Well, I believe the parking spaces were built many years ago, and you've had use of them for many, many years.
I can answer Mr. Wittergreen's question with some hope. Indeed, the short answer is we have had an arrangement with Metra. When those spots were installed, it was through the good offices of Metra. We pay for those stalls, of course, but you should also note that Ms. McKittrick and I, or excuse me, UP, Ms. McKittrick and I and others have visited with Congressman Foster's office and others regarding perhaps supplemental funding to put in that third deck. And we would certainly encourage, enjoy, and look forward to the endorsement of Metra and the UP on securing that federal funding as well. We're looking at a price tag of about $3 million to put that top cap on the deck. So,
okay. Can I assume that when you are making these changes and putting in the third rail, that at the same time you would make the changes to the railroad crossings at Western and 3rd Street that prevent people from driving around the gates so that we get no more threats from the UP to close those crossings as they did the last time? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know about any threats from the UP, so I can't address that.
The last time when they were talking about putting a rail line out west, they were also saying that they might close the Western Avenue and 3rd Street crossings unless they were made re-engineered in such a way that people cannot drive around the gates. And so, if you're re-engineering this third rail, are you going to re-engineer the crossings so that people can't drive around the gates?
Mr. Tupper, the history on that is through the federal regulations, our friends back east in D.C. suggested that perhaps due to safety concerns, we should close and or prevent at our own cost cars, like Mr. Wittergreen explained, going around those crossings. So we would have to install guards, if you will, to the tune of approximately $150,000 to $200,000 per crossing. That, of course, was blocked, thank goodness, because we have no record of safety infractions. Mr. Wittergreen's comment is a good one, because what if, with increased freight traffic, perchance, do you anticipate that there might be additional federal regulations and or pressure for us to do so at Western Avenue and 3rd Street? If you can't answer, you can't answer. But Mr. Piatt, welcome.
Yes,
can you introduce yourself for the benefit of...
My name is Mike Piatt. I'm Assistant Vice President of Government Affairs for Union Pacific Railroad. Mr. Tupper was doing such a great job, I hesitated of throwing myself into this discussion. But I think I know what you're talking about. Obviously, we have no plans, and what he's talking about is Western Avenue was not considered part of the commuter operation. So for a long time, UP took the position that it was not a pre-rule quiet zone. But we changed that position after having discussions with the village of Geneva here, and we do not whistle at Western Avenue now. Now, I think your harder question is as you know, the federal government in the whistle horn rule has an exemption for the whole Chicago commuter territory. And it's just not Geneva, but it's everywhere in Chicago. Your question is, I think, what happens if the federal government changes? If they change whether we have two tracks or three tracks, there's still going to be an issue here. So the third track is not going to make any difference. And we can't control what the federal government. Union Pacific did go on record during the quiet zone proceedings that we were very agreeable with keeping everything grandfathered here in Chicago, because we certainly understand that on, particularly this line where we have 60 commuters and 60 freights that if they were continually blowing the horn, you lose the effectiveness of a train whistle. So we will continue to support that position.
Mr. Whitaker?
Yes. Which brings me to my last point, and this is a comment, not necessarily a question. This gentleman mentioned quiet zones, but he's talking about whistles, and I've already complained about dueling banjos with whistles up and down the tracks during the summertime. But my real concern about this third rail is that parking trains, say, right at Western Avenue, and then listening to the throb of the diesels on into the night, because my house is particularly stationed where I'll hear those diesels throbbing on into the night. So I just don't want a train yard outside of my house. And
Mr.
that's
Paul.
And I certainly understand that. Union Pacific's position on this is going to be that we're going to help Metra to get the funding to extend this third track to West Chicago as quickly as possible. We do not want to see a break in time when the third track ends here in Geneva. Now, I can't commit tonight, as Bill can't commit tonight, that we'll get the funding, but this, you've got to kind of see the project the way we see it. We, as Bill said, what we have now is, and I kind of liken it to a highway. You have three lanes from Elburn to Geneva. You go down to two lanes through Geneva. You go back to three lanes at West Chicago. And near Proviso in Chicago, we go down to two lanes. Well, you know what happens on a highway when you go from three to two to three to two. You have everything backed up. And that's exactly what we have on our railroads. So our goal here, and we're working on the third main track near Proviso under the CRATE program, our goal here is to have three tracks from Elburn to the city of Chicago to keep the freight trains flowing. Now, will we park a train here in Geneva? If the only way I could ever see us parking a freight train here is if we had an emergency. I mean, we had an equipment problem, and it would break down, and we'd have to somehow get it out of here. But on a routine basis, I do not see that. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. We are going to be, as I said, we're going to be working with Metra to make sure there's three tracks to West Chicago, because that's the only way we're going to get the benefits of this. The $17 million that we're together going to spend does not help us that much until we get the third main track to West Chicago.
So really, Mr. Whittegreen's comment that about the time difference between the completion of the project from the Fox River to West Chicago is really at the central of your question. I mean, that's the crux.
Yeah, well, if
there's a significant time difference,
it's just a matter of money.
Right.
Yes.
Everything is, yeah.
It's a matter of money, but it's in our best interest to try to find the money. I mean, we can't say tonight that we found it, but we will be looking very hard to find it, because only when the third track goes to West Chicago will it have full economic sense to us.
And I'm all for that.
And I would assume, Mr. Payot, that you would be looking for community support on that funding for that third rail from the river to West Chicago.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
The gentleman in the back keeps standing up and down. He's going to hurt a hamstring, so welcome, sir.
I'm Ted Danielson, and I'm at 525 and 515 Cheever, neighbors with Mr. Radovich here. Four questions. Right now, along the south side of the tracks, there's an access road that the railroad uses for the signal station or whatever. If a third track is put in and they keep an access road, is there going to be any excavation of the southern slope? Because starting at 525, 515 Cheever, there is a slope and the railroad's down low. There's already been some erosion caused when the city expanded the parking lot behind my houses and put in curbs, and now there's a slope like this. So some retaining wall needs to be put in there, and I'm wondering if any further excavation is going to be done. Do you want all the questions at once, or?
Can I answer one?
Sure.
My memory is as good as it used to be. I'd like to do them one at a time here. As I said before, we have not done any engineering on this yet. If there's a retaining wall required, we will build a retaining wall. So if the condition exists as you described it, then a wall will have to be built, and if additional excavation is required, that will have to happen. But we have not got that far along in our plans yet.
Still on this question, does the railroad own the southern parking lot, or is that city-owned?
I'm not sure what you mean by the southern parking lot.
The parking lot south of the tracks.
We have long-term leases with the Union Pacific.
So that's Union Pacific property.
Correct.
So if I have an erosion problem now, it's between me and Union Pacific, supposedly.
Okay. Well, they have a lease, too.
A lease.
Oh,
okay. Certainly work with us on that. If there's a significant issue, obviously we would be your champion on that.
Cool.
All of that property, the whole parking lot is...
Mr. Devine, if you've got a question, we're going to have to ask you to come to the microphone, because I'm not going to...
All right, well...
Okay. Mr. Daniels, floor is yours.
Second question. Right now, this is purely personal and affects only me. Do you know where the signal lights are going to be? At the moment, I see them from my kitchen window.
Again, as I said, we have not done any engineering here, so they have not been located yet. So I can't give you any further information on that.
Third question. There's only four. Third question.
It's $10 a question, sir, just so you know.
I'm broke.
It goes on your garbage refuse pickup fee.
It seems that if an underpass for commuters, a pedestrian underpass was ever installed, it'd be cheaper to do it while there's only two tracks to go in under rather than when there's three tracks to go under. Where it's located, whether at 3rd Street or just west of the station, seems cheaper to do it when there's only two tracks to go under than after there's three. So would this be part of the plan?
There has been no discussion nor any request from anybody to put a pedestrian underpass underneath the tracks anywhere around the Geneva station.
Fourth question might sound strange anywhere except in Geneva, where we're very aware of our historical structures and the historical nature of our environment around us. I personally am very fond of the old stone wall retaining walls for the overpass at Route 31. I think it's charming. It must have been there since the 1850s. Now, when the bridge was built across the Fox River, I know the city was very concerned in doing something other than just a engineering statement, and they tried to reproduce aesthetically the appearance of that bridge to match what had been there. The underpass or overpass, whatever it is, at Route 31, it's in the historic district. It's a very charming area. It's sort of a gateway area to the Riverwalk. Will this just be a highway overpass, or would there be some consideration into doing something to making it fit in with the historical appearance of that area?
Again, we have not done any engineering work, but I think Metra has a history of working with the communities to build structures that are acceptable to the communities, assuming it can be done so at a reasonable cost.
Mr. Daniels, I can assure you that that's top of mind amongst our community development staff as well. And to your point, a structure is a structure is a structure, but if we can somehow enhance that structure to complement the neighborhood, we would certainly look into that. Don't be surprised, however, if Metra, the UP, or whomever says, we'll provide X. If you want it to look like Y, you might have to pay the difference, and then we've got our decision to make. So, anything else, Mr. Daniels?
No, thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Chivalry is not dead, ladies and gentlemen. Let the record show.
I'm Penny Moore, 821 Cheever and 609 Cheever.
Are you related to this guy, Mr. Moore, in the back?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, okay.
I've heard you talk a lot about the railroad and improving service, and seems to be concerns about that. I live on Cheever. My main concern is how this is going to impact our backyards, because those are our homes. You know, some of us have been there for 25 and 30 years. And if you were to get out and walk down along that area, you might see how close proximity there is to this railroad track. And now with this being boosted over, I'm really concerned about it. I'm concerned about when I'm old and have to go off to, you know, Heritage Woods, if I'm going to be able to sell my house. I'm really concerned about this, how it's going. We've got greeneries, we've got buffers, they're kind of scrub trees and things, nothing that's wonderful, but it does act as a buffer between us and the railroad. Not that we don't like the railroad, you know, we all chose to live there, but it was one way when we moved in, and now we're talking about changing it, and with the excavation and the things that are going to have to go on, which you say you really haven't looked at or don't know about, that's a critically important issue to all of us who live on Cheever, because it just is. Think about you. Come and look at our houses. Come and look at our backyards. And you would probably be feeling the same way that we're feeling. And this may turn out to be perfectly okay, but all of us are a little concerned about this and how it's going to impact. I mean, I have these trees. We've got wildlife. We've got red fox. We've got birds of every kind. It's a lovely place. And like I said, we have learned to live the railroad, and it's fine. You know, it's not a problem for us. But with this being extended, are they going to tear down that greenery, that buffer that comes up against the park district and comes up the back of our houses? And, I mean, are we going to be wide open to this railroad, this third track? It's going to be ugly if that's what's going to happen. But I suppose you can't answer that because you haven't really gotten out there and walked, have you? When will they be doing that? When will somebody say, gosh, maybe we should think about some of those people on Cheever? I would really appreciate it if we were considered on that.
As I stated, we have not done any engineering yet. The hope is after that the FTA will give us approval so that we can move into engineering in the second half of this year, at which time we will work to address the concerns that have been brought up.
Mrs. Moore, for your benefit, and that dude you hang out with, this gentleman over here to my right is Mr. Dick Unch. Mr. Unch? And the gentleman right before him is Mr. Dingus, our Director of Public Works.
They have really been good guys. We had some.
I was just going to say the opposite. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, we find them very nice.
Good.
They came out and walked on our property,
right,
because we had some other things going on. Everybody has always been very concerned, but the railroad isn't Geneva.
No.
It's not Geneva, and we can't talk to Mr. Dingus like, you know, we can communicate with. This group we can communicate with. The railroad's a pretty big operation.
Well, I can assure you that we have employees who work for the UP that reside in Geneva. We have gentlemen who are on their executive staff that still...
They're not going to move to Cheever.
But I bet they're going to listen, because I can assure you that any concerns you have that are broadcast to Mr. Unch and Mr. Dingus are going to be directly broadcast to the triple play team of Payot, Tupper, and Scofus, as well as the UP.
It's a wonderful street.
It's a beautiful street.
It's our home.
I know.
We moved there because we've got that open space, and we've got those red fox.
Right.
And we've got those squirrels and all that wildlife. And, you know, they come in and they're digging, and that has to happen. But I'm just hoping that we're not going to just be pushed in the background.
I can assure you we'll not be.
Generate income, or because, you know, we're more concerned about how we're going to be impacted.
Of course. I just wanted you to know who Dan and Dick were, so that, okay, good, good.
And we have talked to them, so
okay.
Hopefully they will be. And maybe this will all work out, but it might be nice if somebody walked along there and saw how close some of these houses are to this.
There'll be lots of walking going on in the spring.
I'm sure. Suspect so.
Yeah, so. Thank you, Mrs. Moore. Mr. Devine?
John Devine,
921 Wood Avenue, second ward. Pretty good ward.
No, all right. Your parking spot. Come on.
Yeah, I have a parking spot, so.
For the train.
I didn't even know about this, so I guess I lucked out.
You should be thrilled.
Well, actually, I'm not. There's a couple of, I have a couple of concerns here. First being the fact that as a taxpayer, I might have to contribute to build the third deck.
Uh-oh.
So I'm not thrilled about that. But back to the point at hand. Maybe we're putting the cart before the horse, or maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. But I really haven't heard anything in the presentation tonight that tells me what benefit Geneva's going to get by allowing this third rail to run from Peck to the river. So maybe you could address that to begin with. That's my first question.
As I said, our main reason for doing this project is, and with the ultimate extension across the river to West Chicago, is Metra today on the UP West line experiences more freight delays than on any other line in the Metra system. As Mr. Pack kind of described, the whole idea here is to get a more fluid operation so that both the freight trains and the Metra trains operate more fluidly. They're not in each other's way, so we can run on-time line and give our customers the kind of service they deserve.
You know, at the risk of sounding argumentative, and I apologize, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but I don't think you really answered the question, because you're talking about on-time service from the river to Elburn, on-time service from the loop to West Chicago. I mean, if we were going to put in the third rail from the river to West Chicago, then I could see your point. But while we don't have the third rail to link up the east with the west, I don't see what the benefit to the citizens of Geneva is at this point. I see, unless Metra and the UP are willing to go on the record to say that we will not, until we get, or even when we get, the third rail from the river to West Chicago, we will continue to stage our freights and our commuter lines out in the rail yard in Elburn. Even though we put in this third rail, you know, we're not going to start bringing our freights further east, because I personally think that's what you're going to do with this third rail, is you're going to bring those freights closer in. Now, I don't know these gentlemen and this lady that spoke before, but I just have this sneaky suspicion that the UP, and nothing against them, you know, very good organization, you know, they're going to do what's in the benefit of that big corporation. And that big corporation basically runs freight. Now, I know you're in the business of trying to move commuters, and I happen to be a commuter, and I think the commuter service on whole is pretty good. Now, do we need a third rail? Sure, we need a third rail, but we need that third rail from downtown to Elburn, if not further west. Simply putting in a third rail from Peck to the river, I don't see how that helps Geneva. In fact, I see nothing but detriment with this. This is a win-win for the UP and not for the citizens.
Mr. Liesendahl, you cannot make a correction.
I apologize.
Mr. Liesendahl.
Yes.
I apologize.
I expected you'd be with us.
Third rail. Third set of tracks.
You abide by the rules everyone else is abiding by. You will have your chance to ask your questions and make your comments. Do not interrupt again. Thank you, sir. Mr. Pat.
I just want to repeat what I said before. UP and Metra are going to... We can't make a commitment here tonight, but UP, let me assure you, I want that third... Union Pacific wants that third main line between the river and West Chicago more than you do. And I predict that it is going to be in right after the third main rail from Peck to the river gets put in. We're already in the process under Crate and much further along than this of putting the third main rail in around Proviso. So I'm not here just talking in platitudes. We've already put a lot of money into the Crate program and that particular project. Again, this third rail through Geneva doesn't do us, the $8.5 million that we're going to pay does not do us any good unless we hook it up to West Chicago. We're going to be working very hard to get that done as soon as possible. And I would like to think, although I worked for the railroad for 36 years, so I can't say it will never happen, but I would like to think we are smart enough not to park freight trains in Geneva.
Well, I would hope you're smart enough, too. And I'd also like to know, as you say, you know, you're working diligently on getting that additional funding to put the, let me be correct this time, the third set of railroad tracks from the river to West Chicago. Possibly you could come back and enlighten not only the council but the citizens of Geneva as to how that's going and how it appears or what the time frame appears. I, as a taxpayer, happen to be a little skeptical, thinking that there's going to be funds available after we passed a $750 billion TARP in 2008, and now we're looking at close to another $900 billion. Is the federal government going to have funds left?
It's been stated before, and it's worth reiterating that when Metra and when the UP have information that's relevant to this project or projects surrounding our area, they'll be providing that information to us. We'll be broadcasting that to those who subscribe to our weekly service, and we'll be posting it online as well. And that we have on record tonight that when that golden goose lays its egg and we can continue that third rail through West Chicago, we'll have these gentlemen, perhaps others, back with us again to explain the impact east of the river as well. So, and let me just say for the record, not to diminish anyone's excitement here, but the fact remains that the right-of-way is owned by the Union Pacific. And for all practical purposes, the Union Pacific, if they so choose, or so chose, could install this third rail without any input from any of the communities up and down the line. The fact these gentlemen are here tonight is to help us all understand what impact it'll have and what we can do to work with them to mitigate that impact. In fact, I believe very strongly that when we reach the end of this process, we'll see significant improvements to Geneva's commuter railway system because of the cooperation. I truly believe that. And of course, I now am on record saying that, but I believe that. So we have a friendship here that we're going to work together on federal funding for the third line. We're going to work on federal funding for the third tier. So,
and that's well stated, and the intentions are wonderful. You know, and I know there's people in this room, probably a lot of people, that have lived out here a lot longer than me, but I've been here 21 years, and I've yet to see a new bridge built across the Fox River. And, I mean, how many times have we heard we need another bridge across the Fox River, and where's the funding coming from? So why would I, as a citizen of the Tri-Cities, I'll say not just Geneva, but Batavia and St. Charles, want to think that there's going to be funding available, you know, for a new bridge to handle a third set of railroad tracks when we haven't been able to get a bridge to handle the car traffic, the automobile traffic? Now that's, you know, well, I don't want to get, I want to stay on point.
No, I
did have two final questions. I don't want to monopolize this because there's
Devine,
probably somebody
Mr.
else.
Mr. Devine, regarding on point, funding is available now. $17 million of funds is available now to build the third line from Peck Road to the river. So that trestle bridge...
A railroad tracks to nowhere. It stops at the river.
Well, it doesn't, sir. It converges the two.
That's right.
But it's important we debate the facts as opposed to the
theories. I agree.
Otherwise, we're all going to go home.
But But it comes into a funnel, if you will.
Of course.
And on the other side, it comes into a funnel. Yeah. But once again, I only have two final questions. One was back to the question of the parking lot.
Sure.
Parking lot on the south side of the depot, the train depot right now. Is the whole parking lot UP property?
Yes.
I mean, it goes back to the houses?
The fence line, correct.
Fence line?
That's correct, sir.
Okay.
It's leased. It's leased from the UP.
No, they own it. I know we're leasing it, but they actually own the property.
Some of the parking lots on the north side of the tracks are owned by the city, such as from basically the old St. Charles Spur track east to 4th Street was acquired by the city.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I understood that the whole parking lot back to the fence is UP property. Okay, and finally, how long is the lease? We have a lease for the parking lot.
It's been renegotiated several times. It's
I don't know when it expires.
It's
multi-year.
Yeah.
Look at.
I think there's a couple of them, and they have different terms, and I can't tell you.
But I'm sure that's something we could put out on the website. I mean, that should be public record, right?
It is public record.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. We'll shoot you an email tonight with that information.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Who dares approach the podium? Well, before I recognize somebody for the second time, anyone else?
No.
This handsome devil here in the beard? Come on up, big guy. Yeah. Why'd you look over your shoulder? I don't want to introduce who you are in case you're afraid that you should be somewhere else. Isn't there a park board meeting tonight?
No, there is not.
No? Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Larry Gabriel, and I'm superintendent of parks with Geneva Park District. We have two properties that are adjacent to the railroad tracks, and I just have actually a few questions, but they're relatively simple. When you're in the construction process, will you identify the right-of-way via stakes, flags, so that we know how far we can expect the track to be coming toward our properties? Will there be markings in that that we can identify and perhaps communicate regarding?
Well, at the time of construction, yes, we will have to mark where the third track is going to be constructed.
Mm-hmm. Relative to that, once construction begins, do you anticipate construction vehicles using public streets and particularly our parking lot that's very nearby there for staging of vehicles and such? We would like to, if you were going to do that, we would like advance warning, notice, et cetera, rather than typically now we have UP vehicles or train vehicles just pulling in our parking lot randomly, setting up shop and parking, and we have no advance notice. So I would appreciate the courtesy, if you would, of knowing when and where these particular construction vehicles would be, both in our lot and any public streets nearby as well.
Just put them in the lot.
Yes. That sounds good. Are there any concerns on your part? We have both a swimming pool and we run camps at a public park nearby. Do you have any parameters in place regarding, okay, there's a public area nearby, we're going to be putting a track here. Is it your responsibility or is it ours to put any type of barricade or fencing on as a form of protection, safety structures, if you would, just to prevent any children or anybody else from getting onto the tracks, given the proximity you are to the public land?
Generally speaking, if somebody wants a fence along a right-of-way, it's typically up to them to work with us to provide the funding for that fencing.
And finally, along Western Avenue, particularly if it's widened, is there any restructuring of the railroad gates to incorporate pedestrian gates as well for the sidewalks to prevent pedestrians from going on when trains are crossing?
again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we have not looked at that. The village did request that we look at it as part of the engineering. We agreed to look at it, but you know, no agreement has been reached about whether we would or would not put any kind of pedestrian gates up.
And finally, kind of, as long as we're on the subject of trains, I think Metro rocks. To go downtown for $5 and there and back, I'm all for that. So thanks, man.
Mr. Gable, is that a pun?
It is, sir.
Let's leave the puns to the Park District meetings, please. This is very serious business here.
Point taken, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Barton, welcome, sir.
My name is John Barton. I live at 811 Cheever Avenue. And we own property along that south side. And it's going to involve our house quite a bit, the noise. The noise right now when Metra parks their car or trains waiting to pick people up, we can hear it now. And now you're going to bring it toward our house more. How far is that going to be? You know?
No.
This all seems kind of vague to me, you know?
Well, typically, in this stage of the design, we don't have a public meeting. We came out here at the request of the city. We don't have any design done or anything at this point. You know, they requested we come out and speak about, in general, what our plans are. So, you're correct. We do not have any final plans yet. We have not done any of that work yet.
No. Yeah. Well, are you going to let us know when you're going to do all this surveying so we can be included in that? Are we going to have transparency with the surveying?
The surveying will include our staff as well. Perhaps Mr. Dinges could answer the first question Mr. Barton posed, and that is, approximately, if the southern track is now 100 feet from Mr. Barton's fence line, and we put in a third track, would that third track then be 70 feet away? What's the average footage you need to put a third track in? Is it 25 feet? I mean, Mr. Dinges, please join
typically
us.
Typically, the track centers are anywhere from 15 to 25 feet.
So anywhere from 15 to 25 feet are the track centers. Dan, do you want to add to that? Or
Kevin, regarding that right-of-way, are we assuming that the right-of-way, the tracks are currently positioned on the right-of-way dead center, or where? I mean, we don't. That isn't clearly identified.
Right. Let Mr. Radovich chime in real quick.
It's my understanding that the two existing sets of tracks are on the north side of the center line of the Chicago Northwestern, or what was the Chicago Northwestern, now UP, right-of-way. The property lying south of that center line did have a spur track that was the Dunston Road spur track that came and existed for many years prior to the abandonment of that spur track and then the construction of additional parking on the south side of the tracks. So the width of the right-of-way, to my knowledge, is much more than the typical 100-foot right-of-way that exists elsewhere as you go east or west on this line, because of that additional siding that was created not only on the south side but also on the north side that served the Joshua Lumberyard for many years, and that also was abandoned with the spur track that went up to St. Charles. So the width of the right-of-way from 31, Route 31, west to Western Avenue is much different than the typical right-of-way lying west.
Was any of that, excuse me, Mr. Radovich, was...
I've lived along the railroad for 40 years, so across the railroad tracks for many of these folks that have spoken tonight, so I have some knowledge of...
When that line was abandoned, was it assumed that it was still a part of the right-of-way, or was that property ever vacated?
As I, well, the actually the property was owned by the Dunston Dunston Road spur track was owned by the Chicago Northwestern.
Right.
It was not right-of-way that was abandoned in that typical sense. It was actually owned by the railroad. And I think that was the case also as it came and met the main line near or just west of Western Avenue and east of Western Avenue and west of 3rd Street.
Mr. Barton, is that... Does that provide any information for your clarity?
Well, the message I want to get is, you know, this was all hit us all within a short period of time.
Right.
Now, obviously, it's been planned before that, but this is and Mr. Moore told me about it, about an article in the Chronicle. That's the first I knew about it. The thing I'm saying is that I think we need... transparency here. You know, it's like we're the people who live along Cheever. We're going to catch the sounds. It gets loud, and I think that has to be addressed. The environment has to be addressed because, like Mrs. Moore said, we have deer, fox, you know, and you know, it's just kind of confusing.
John, why do you get the fox and I get the coyotes?
I hear them over on your side.
Let me say to Mr. Barton's point, tonight is the first step toward unconditional transparency. And let me also amplify what Mr. Tupper said. And again, in the deepest respect I can possibly muster, we didn't invite the UP and Metro to be here tonight. We demanded that they be here tonight. We insisted that they begin this process in an open conversation so that we're all in the same room hearing the same things. And as this conversation continues and information changes or ebbs and flows, that we're all going to dispense it properly. And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen of Geneva, and I know Mr. Tupper and Mr. Scofis and Mr. Payot agree, that when needed, more conversations are required, they'll be present again. And it may very well require, when push comes to shove, that we have a special meeting exclusively dedicated to this topic. So I'm certainly grateful that they're here tonight. You're right, this is not a public hearing per se, but our policies here in the City of Geneva have always been that if folks join us at a council meeting, they have the right to talk, they have the right to question, and obviously you have the right to provide the information as you so know it. So a lot of the answers are, we don't know yet, and I respect that, but it stands to reason that we'll know soon enough. So now, Mr. Dingus, you want to chime in on the...
Right, I just wanted to add... you know, once they get into the engineering, we're going to be working with them, looking at the plans.
Right.
And I think one thing that we'll be looking at is staking of where that center line of the new rail will go along with the south right-of-way line so that we can notify the residents along that corridor and we can kind of look at where that rail is going to be in relationship to the existing rail and where it is in relationship to their property line so everybody can see where... UP and Metro are looking to place that rail. So it's just a matter of they got to get the design, what we've asked for plans and, you know, review during that process so we're aware of what's going on, and we'll be sharing that information with the residents along that entire corridor. So.
You know, it might be helpful tonight prior to residents leaving, and I can certainly ask perhaps Ms. Dawkins to grab a blank sheet of paper. If you want to leave us with your email address, we will broadcast everything to you right away. Secondarily, I think it's a fair assumption that this is not dissimilar to our Randall Road widening project when the Geneva Commons came to town. We did very similar things with our residents along Randall Road with respect to center line, impact, distance from. So we're fairly used to the process. It's just obviously a different entity now. So, right. Mr. Barton, anything else? No. Anyone else from the audience? Mr. Daniels for round two, unless there's somebody new? No?
The conversation about the width of the railroad right-of-way, any plat map I've seen, no matter how far back it goes, there's always dimensions within platted areas, but there's no dimensions given
for the width of this right-of-way that I've ever seen. I mean, there's these spurs going off, but there's never any dimension. If you told me where your south property line was, there's no way to say I'm 200 feet south of that or 175 feet south of that. Is there some plat map that shows these dimensions?
I am personally not involved with any of the plat maps in this stretch of track, but I will say that in general, railroad plat maps are relatively vague compared to what most people are used to. That doesn't mean you can't determine dimensions, but the way the railroads were generally the first entity that went through, a lot of times it is not clear. Like I said, I can't speak directly about this. I'm more familiar with, you know, because since Union Pacific is the owner, I'm more familiar with some of the lines that we directly own, and that is a constant thing we have to work with surveyors to help identify the exact property line. It can be done, but it usually takes quite a bit of effort to do it, and it will be done as part of the design process for this work.
And certainly the City of Geneva's GIS department will be assisting. Dan, did you want to say anything to that, or...?
What we would have available would be the Sidwell books, which includes our GIS system. If it's not specifically listed a dimension, we do have scale drawings that we can look at, and we would be able to get an idea anyway of what that right-of-way is along the entire corridor. So
okay.
That's what we have available.
And Mr. Mayor, to add what Dan is saying, I mean, the city has acquired over the years, as I mentioned before, property on the north side of this railroad track as well as property along the St. Charles Spur track, and as a part of those acquisitions, we obtained from what was then the Chicago Northwestern Railroad plat maps that show the dimensions of these areas. I don't have one with me tonight, but the city does have those documents, and that's what the city uses, or that's what the railroad uses typically to plot out the location of their spur tracks and their main line with their station points.
Anyone else in the audience? Mr. Moore, welcome back.
I would guess now that the people on the west side of the river, we didn't have a whole lot of notice that this was taking place. But now I guess the people on the east side of the river who are going to have a third rail by their property are probably going to be aware that with a lot more notice that... And maybe more drawings and whatnot so they know how far it is from their property lines and whatnot. So.
No, to your point, and I'm certain that the City Council would echo this statement, that we would be more than happy as City Council members to have our own roadshow with respect to drawings that Metra and the UP would provide with our own GIS department or engineering department or community development department, whether it be an open house here at Public Works, closer to your homes, at your homes, because we want it to be, to Mr. Burton's point, very transparent. So thank you, Mr. Moore. Now, if I understand that if we can't fit the third rail in the proposed landscape, it'll go down Western to Fargo to Dunston? Relax, people. Just trying to lighten things up a little bit. Anyone else in the audience? Members of the City Council, Mr. Piper, Mr. Hill, Mr. Dakota Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Guys, I appreciate you being here and kind of walking us through this. I know you've been hit with a lot of questions tonight. It seems to me we got two programs here, and without both of them, you gain nothing, basically. You'll get a railroad to nowhere unless both the east and the west are done. Why wouldn't you do the east first, I guess would be my first question. Why wouldn't you go from West Chicago to Geneva first rather than come from the west end?
Because we're using the leftover money from... the new start that extended the service out to Elburn, and it's one of the requirements that the FTA put on us to use that money. It had to be within the scope of that project, and the scope ran basically from Geneva west. So that's the only area we can spend the money in.
I understand. Okay. The third rail that you have, excuse me, that's out west today, and maybe this is a question for the gentleman from the UP, how is that third rail being used today?
Well, that's basically the third rail. for those of you that can remember when the service ended here at Geneva, which, you know, if a lot of times, especially during the daytime, not the peak hours, but, you know, the commuter trains would be sitting on the one of the two tracks here, you know, would make the run out from the city and would sit there, if I remember right, about 20 minutes before it turned around and went back. One of the ideas behind the Third Main out west, especially the far west end, is that's where the commuter trains now pull into the Elburn station, and they sit there, and the Union Pacific still has two mains to run their operation rather than be limited to one main as they were when they were in Geneva here for 20 minutes out of every hour. So predominantly, the Third Main is for the commuter operation. There are freight trains that run on it occasionally, but today it's mainly used for the commuter operation.
Okay, because obviously the biggest concern is where you're talking about bringing this Third Main in from Peck into the city. It's completely different than where you are now. Their houses from the minute you guys start laying more track all the way in. So as we all sit here and we have these discussions in the UP, you know, we can all joke about how we think it's everybody's going to be smart enough not to park a train there. I think what I'd like to see moving forward is something in writing that says we're not going to park a train there, rather than just us say, well, worst case, this could happen. Well, the folks in this room and you two gentlemen won't be involved with that at that point, and then we're talking to no one. So whereas I have no problem with the project, I just like to make sure the trains aren't parked along there. And I understand the argument, and these folks have even said, look, we did build, you know, we purchased homes that were up against the tracks. I don't think it would be fair to penalize them by parking trains there. So I would like to see that to say, you know, maybe something to the effect that says, look, from where the homes start into the city, then we won't do that. We'll stay away from that, and if we do, there's got to be these reasons for doing it. I think that would kind of go a long way with the program that you're doing, because my concern is that third track comes in, it doesn't really go anywhere. It's kind of nothing more than a parking lot, really, for kind of moving trains out of the way, because it funnels right back in, until, of course, everything gets attached on the east end. Now you've got an actual three rails going in and out, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is that something that we can discuss in the future?
Well, again, I work for Metra. I don't work for the Union Pacific, so I can't answer that question.
Sir?
We can discuss it, certainly. I'm not saying we'll agree to it, but we'll discuss it.
Well, we'll discuss it then. Be assured.
Anything else, Bob?
No, thank you.
Did I miss Ray? Pollack, Hill, Decoto, Flanagan?
I would be last, Mayor.
Okay, excuse me, last. Okay, then we're going to go to Hill, Decoto, Flanagan, Singer, and Pollack.
Mr. Tupper, you had mentioned that adding a second platform on the south side of the two current rails would cause some extra foot traffic around those two rails or something like that. How did you just describe that?
If we put basically a center track platform between two tracks,
okay.
Obviously today, if the platform is on the, if you get off the train today and your car is there in the parking lot, you can just walk off the back of the platform where you are and go to your car.
On the south side?
On the south side.
Okay.
Right, that's what we're talking about, on the south side. So if you left the platform where it is today and put the third track to the south of the platform, the only way to get to the parking lot would be to walk down to 3rd Street and then go back to wherever your car is parked in the parking lot. That's why our preference is to build the platform to rip up the existing platform, put the new track in, and then put a new platform on the outside of the new third track.
But today, sir, I'm not a commuter, and I do enjoy the Metro when it's possible, but when you do get off the train coming from Chicago, you do have to walk to 3rd Street and turn north to get to the parking lot that's currently on the north side of the tracks. So you already have that condition, and so if you did not add that platform on the south side of the current tracks, you would really not be experiencing that trip, because you wouldn't have cars parked on the south side. Right?
You have cars. I'm not sure I understand your question. There are cars parked on the south side, and there will continue to be cars parked on the south side.
So were you talking about abandoning the platform?
Yeah.
On the south side?
Well, yes.
I think Alderman Hill might, and I don't want to speak for you, Sam, but the implication is that is it being considered that the platform will be abandoned on the south side of the tracks?
No. Mm-hmm. You would have two platforms.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Next question. Mr. Pryad might want to be involved in this one. I know that you're trying to serve your customers, sir, and you do have, apparently, it's been reported, you have difficulty with rail space in your yard at Melrose Park, I believe that is. Is that located in Melrose Park, or is that some other town? And if there is a difficulty, whatever town it's in, why not enlarge that area so you can park more freight trains in that large yard rather than park them in our community?
Proviso Yard, which you're talking about, we have plenty of room in there. The issue is freight trains coming from the west to the east. As many of you know, we respect the commuter rush hour, which is from 6:30 to 9 in the morning and from 4 to 6:30 in the afternoon, which means that all of our freight trains coming from the west coast, we start parking them from Elburn on out to the Mississippi River. That's solely to let the commuter trains run on time during the rush hour. So the problem isn't at the east end as much as it is at the west end.
I see. Okay, thank you. Both gentlemen might want to respond to this question. Underneath our current bridge that goes over the River Fox, there is a very popular walking and biking bridge. If you enlarge the rail bridge, will that bridge that is currently in existence and used daily be allowed to stay there, or will it be destroyed or enlarged?
Well, again, I have to preference by Bill's statement. A lot depends on the final engineering. But first of all, our bridge over the Fox already has room for a third main line. So our bridge over the Fox should not be widened. Again, the engineers will have to look at it, but it's already, at one time there was a third main rail over the Fox River.
I see. I did not realize that. I'm just interested in protecting that bridge that is underneath your bridge.
If we don't have to do anything to the bridge,
where do you have it?
There should be no reason to do anything under the bridge.
Good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Alderman Dakota, Flanagan, Singer, and Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Most of my questions, I think, have been answered, but the third rail would be put south. You've established that. I know the engineering hasn't been done, but, I don't think engineering would influence my other question. The amount of traffic on those lines generally, including the third rail line, will not increase the amount of traffic per se by itself. I assume.
That is correct.
It might de-bottleneck to some extent, so standing still portions or trains being held up would be, the trains would be more fluid, really.
Right. The idea is to make the operation more fluid, not to add more trains to
it. You said the project would be through 2010 or 2011, preliminary. I know the engineering hasn't been done. You've told us that a million times, and I appreciate that. But that was for the first phase of the complete project? Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that would be for the first phase. If we get the money, as Mr. Payette said, both organizations are working very diligently to get enough money. If we get enough funding in time so that we can continue the work, I would expect to have the third main all the way to West Chicago sometime in 2012 or 2013.
Okay. So that would be the complete bottlenecking at that point.
Yes.
Where the effectiveness of the third rail would be felt or implemented, in effect. I'm still puzzled. generally, if you're going to put a rail line next to an existing one, like the third one next to the sudden rail line, what would be the general, I know the engineering has been done, but from center to center of those two respective lines would be how much space?
As I said earlier, it'd be 15 to 25 feet, generally.
From center to center of these two lines, okay. That's how much closer the line would be to the homes on Cheever Street, assuming it's one right next to the other. All right. You've answered that. That's it. Really. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan, Singer, Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of questions here. You're talking about taking and extending it to the east, and you still have right-of-way clearance throughout the east all the way up to West Chicago, so you wouldn't be impeded by any restrictions on property in that area, so you can rest assured that your plan to go to 2012 east would be accomplished?
Yes, we believe we can fit it all within the existing Union Pacific property.
So you don't have any problem there. My concern, I guess, because I travel that area a lot, is the Route 38 grade. And because it's at grade level right now, and I know there's anticipating changes in that area, would that impact your building?
We'd have to see where that project stood at the time.
And you don't have any at this current time, there's no anticipated solution or direction as you know it, or maybe Mr.
Add to that, about 38 Roosevelt Road is in the CREATE project, and as you know, Kane County has taken ownership of that. They have started engineering. Engineering for grade separation takes quite a while. So we're probably talking 3 to 4 to 5 years.
Really?
But in the interim, I mean, we would design, they would have to design the grade separation for three main lines. I think both projects are coming together at a good time because they both will anticipate the other project.
Because I know that although there, you mentioned that the freight traffic doesn't come through till 6:30. I get stuck with a lot of trains.
You're absolutely correct. We keep most of our freights out. Usually, you'll probably see some stack trains going through because those are generally the ones that move faster. And there's always an exception. So.
Okay. Alderman Flanagan, to your point, and just for the benefit of the council, who I think knows this, and certainly the community, the proposed grade separation at Roosevelt Road and Couts Road has been approved by, in terms of design, the City of Geneva, the City of West Chicago, County of Kane, County of DuPage, and the DuPage Airport Authority.
Final?
Virtually the final.
Okay.
The challenge is we need about $25 to $30 million to build it.
Yeah, I knew it was expensive, so I didn't know how this was going to play into the whole.
So, tis the problem.
And then I want one last question. Because of the third rail construction out west, there was a lot of whistleblowing because of the construction. Workers that you have to blow whistles. Will you also be doing that? In other words, in this area, because I know that it impacted our residents in the Fourth Ward considerably. So,
the federal regulations require that a train going past railroad workers has to blow its whistle.
Okay, so everybody should at least know that. So, thank you.
The follow-up question is, can you or perhaps Mr. Payot or Mr. Scofis answer, do we know what time of day the work would be performed on the third rail?
Middle of the night.
I'm not sure what time I would anticipate at the earliest it would start would be about 8 o'clock.
But traditional business hours? So it's
Yes, it would all be during the day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alderman Singer, Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One of my questions has already been answered, and that was the construction of the overpass or underpass at Route 38. Let me have a clarification here regarding the first phase. Is that the phase which will begin at Peck Road and at the river? And you feel that that will be completed somewhere between 2010 and late 2011?
Yes.
That's the first. And the second phase then would be from the river into West Chicago?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. As a follow-up to Alderman Singer's question regarding phase two, you earlier stated that the cost for phase one is approximately $17 million?
Yes.
What is the total overall cost, phase one and phase two?
Do you remember, Michael? I don't off the top of my head.
I don't off the top of my head, but we could give you...
We have, there's been estimates. The UP has prepared estimates. We can get that information to you.
My thought is, if it's greater than $17 million, has that money been budgeted? And if not, what's the process? Are we looking, is it pie in the sky?
No. The idea, as we've talked about before, is the goal of both Union Pacific and Metra is to identify funds to keep the project going and get it done. It doesn't, we get the greatest benefit out of having the third main in operation all the way to West Chicago. So we need that to provide, to get the benefit out of spending the $17 million that we're going to spend west of the river. We need to spend the money from the river east, so that we are going to both be looking for the funding to provide our 50% share to continue construction.
And I think we all agree with you that not only will Metro and the UP benefit, but so will the citizens of Geneva if it's extended. And the question is regarding that, if you will, that missing link, the amount that's going to be required, considering the state of the economy, and we know how projects get pushed off. We know it's a great benefit, but what's the actual reality of securing the necessary funding so that it can be accomplished?
I can't answer for Metra, and I don't want to put Metra on the spot, but as far as the Union Pacific is concerned, the all of our lines from the West Coast, I mean, we serve all the West Coast ports, come into Chicago. And frankly, we hit a wall when we come into Chicago with all the congestion here. So this project is the highest priority of the Union Pacific. So I can say that uncategorically that this is the highest priority for the Union Pacific Railroad. Well, if Metro finds their money, we will be there to match it, period, end of discussion.
And I must say that the show that has premiered called Extreme Trains has certainly identified what occurs here. You know, Chicago truly is a crossroads. And I can appreciate your desires to do this, but again, my hesitation, of course, is where is the money going to come from? You know, we have to stop printing money eventually. You can't continue on. Anyways, my last question is regarding the right-of-ways. You earlier identified 25 feet. Mr. Radovich alluded to the fact that perhaps the right-of-ways are not a consistent width simply because there are no real maps available for everyone to look at. If that is the case, I think it's very critical that we early on identify what is the right-of-way so that the residents are aware of it. But I must say, historically, we've enjoyed a very good relationship with Metra and the UP. The tone here tonight that I've heard is we're going to demand transparency. Well, every time we've had an issue regarding the railroad, Metra and the UP have always been here. So, you know, I thank you for that. So I trust that this process will work, that there will be transparency, that it's going to take, there's going to be some heartache on both parties simply because we don't know. But the way you solve that is be open and communicate. Thank you.
Alderman Barclay, then Alderman Maladra.
Thank you. I had a couple of questions about the horns also. What is that length that you guys are looking at constructing here in this first phase between Peck and the river? What's the length there?
Mr. Buckley, is your microphone on, sir?
No.
Yes.
Oh, it is? Okay. Ah, there we go.
It's about 3 miles right now.
And how much of that do you construct at a time? Is it the whole thing under construction all at once, or you do?
Well, I mean, yes, basically. It starts just like any kind of, if you're building a highway, it's really no different than that, except instead of asphalt being the final product, it's, you know, ties and rail are the final product that you put on top. So just like you see a highway project going along where they prepare, you know, the subgrade, the final grade, and then put the rail and ties on, it would be the same type of situation.
So that entire distance, that 3 miles from 8 to 5 every day, the horns are going to be...
No. That's...
On the day after.
Just because it's all under construction at the same time, maybe I'm not answering your question the right way, doesn't mean there's going to be workers over the whole 3 miles every day. Again, just think about when you see a highway being built. If there's a 3 mile section of highway being built, you don't see workers for that whole 3 miles every day. It may all be shut down every day.
That's why I was asking how much you do at a time.
It's however the phasing of the project dictates. I mean, it's at different times it's going to be larger and smaller depending on any given day.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Bill?
Nope.
Our next questioner is Alderman Maladra, and for the record, it should be noted that Alderman Maladra is a commuter and has been using the same monthly ticket since 1997.
I've also been paying for my parking, which I'm starting to worry about.
Write that down, sir. You guys are in revenue downfall. This is the guy you want to go to.
I wanted to start by thanking everybody who came out tonight for coming out. I think it was important that your concerns be heard. And then I just wanted to make a statement that I agree with Alderman Pollock and Mayor Burns that we have a strong partnership with both Metro and the Union Pacific. But I think that the strength of that continued partnership is based on how much you heard tonight and how hard you work to mitigate those concerns. It's a very real fact that trains are stacked and that they idle near residences. We have to avoid that except in cases of emergencies. I think that your comments are clear and that the intent is there, but then when you say you're willing to talk about agreements of that sort, but you won't necessarily do it, it makes me a little bit nervous. So as long as you heard loudly and clearly what people had to say tonight and you're willing to work hard to mitigate that, then our partnership will continue as stronger than it has been. Thanks.
Our goal is to continue the partnership to work as well as it has in the past.
We have several aldermen who wish to speak a second time, but first let me defer to Mr. Brown, who has not yet spoken.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was assuming I might be the last. Thank you for coming and answering the mayor's request that you come. If I was in your position, I would have begged off until we had preliminary engineering drawings because it would have made it a lot easier for you to answer some of these questions. The question is simply, do you have any rough time scale as when you might have preliminary drawings that you could share with our Department of Public Works and we can distribute to the people who leave their names, et cetera? Is it sometime this summer? Presumably the surveyors can get out in the spring and start doing some looking at these things.
Well, we don't have approval yet to go for design, so that you will not see surveyors out there in the spring. It's probably going to be the summertime. So it's going to be late summer or in the fall before we start having any more definitive information that we can share.
Thank you, and we look forward to coming back with some designs and drawings that will make it much easier to answer the residents' questions. Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Without objection, I'll recognize Alderman Singer, then Alderman Dakota for a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do understand your needs of bringing that line completely into the city, and certainly I hope that you understand the needs of what the citizens of Geneva will expect of you, and it just frightened me to death if all of a sudden you decide to continue with the line, removing the those parking spaces, and we have no areas in which we can park those cars. I think it's going to be critical that that third deck be constructed at a point in time where we feel comfortable with what you are proposing here. And I just want you to know that. And I don't know just how and if we will have the authority to dissuade you from not doing what we're asking of you to do. So please keep that in mind. That is, I think, an essential project that has to be completed as part of this effort that you're bringing forth to us this evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Decoto.
Thank you, Mayor. One thought I have really is we talked about transparency, and it's going to be evolving process with time. And I think the minute the paper is out tomorrow morning, the people on the east side will say, well, look, we don't know about our part of the side of town. So it's important that we keep the general public, particularly the people on the east side, kind of informed realistically about this thing. Because, you know, like President Roosevelt said, the biggest fear we have is fear itself. And that will come into the equation, really, kind of thing. And I assume the money will come from our new Secretary of Transportation, Congressman LaHood. And I'm sure as long as we don't run out of ink and electricity in Washington, we'll keep printing money. That scares the hell out of me. I'm sorry. Thank you very much for coming tonight.
To Alderman Decoto's point, we will be working with our IT manager, Mr. Peter Collins, to insert on our website a bulletin under the bulletin section that is dedicated exclusively to Geneva's third rail project. So as information becomes available, we'll post that on there as well, just so everyone knows. So, and if you don't have access to the Internet, call Alderman Decoto.
Thank you.
That seem fair? We do have a couple of questions from some of our professional staff. I'll defer to City Administrator Mrs. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a couple of questions and then a couple of comments as well. First, I wanted to know the construction of the new platform and the disruption of or the loss of the 94 to 96 spaces, will you be using the lot to the south of the station specifically for staging, which would mean that we would incur more losses during construction?
Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but we haven't figured any of that out yet.
Okay. So it's possible that we could temporarily.
And it's also possible that we might not. Like I said, we haven't figured anything out yet.
Okay. Your future long-range plan, are you looking for funding to come through the state capital funding bill? Or that is that where you would be looking to?
No. We're anticipating this would come out of our normal federal program, but that is on a continuing resolution this year. I don't know enough about it that I want to speak too much about it, but that comes up for, I believe it's going to come up for a vote next year, how much funding it is. But we anticipate just our normal capital program, the money we get year in, year out from the federal government.
I'm concerned, you know, as we all are, and I've talked about the loss of the approximate 100 spaces, but I do want to express gratitude to Metra and also to the County of Kane for lending letters of support, which the mayor alluded to earlier, that we took to Congressman Foster's office and provided them with copies of asking for some of the federal stimulus dollars to build that third tier on the parking deck. We also, just for everyone's information, through the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, Metro West Council of Government, the State Legislature Infrastructure Task Force, as well as Congressman Foster's office, have provided that information. Director of Public Works Dan Dinges and I have been working on providing a list of many projects that we would hope that this federal stimulus bill would help us fund. and the parking deck third tier is number one on the list. That's at the very top. It is those spaces that we're talking about, not the additional temporary ones that I was just referring to that may or may not happen, but the approximate 94, 96 spaces is about $30,000 loss in revenues to the city on an annual basis. We also talked to you, just a point I wanted to make for clarification, when staff met with Metro staff, we did talk about the possibility of putting sidewalks if there was going to be any construction to the overpass at Route 31. We did talk about our desire to have sidewalks there if possible, but more specifically we talked about an overpass, a pedestrian overpass that would take commuters from the overflow lot that sits on the river, next to the river, all the way over to the train station. That would be our preferred way of getting people back and forth as opposed to putting them on a sidewalk adjacent to the highway. Because right now we look at that as a safety issue. We do have people walking in the roadway, and that is a top priority that we would ask Metra to consider in their engineering for the overpass over Route 31. The other item just to mention also that we talked briefly about was the Randall Road underpass, and we were asking if that could be utilized for pedestrian way, and I know that we've worked with the Park District on that at one point in time, and it sounded like from our discussions with staff that would probably not happen, that if there's going to be a pedestrian or bike way, it would be a completely different underpass under Randall Road, and that underpass that exists right now would not be utilized. Is that your understanding? Or
you don't? Yeah, it's really a Union Pacific issue as far as what use they would give to their right-of-way. What we have determined is that we could fit our third track underneath the Randall Road overpass, and that's going to pretty much fill it up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. My only other point is that in your long-range plans to continue expansion and improvement, that you would look for additional parking opportunities to provide to make up for our loss. I think that the third tier is a long-range plan of ours. I think we'll get there eventually. I don't know if we'll get there soon enough to compensate for this loss in the immediate near future. So I think that it's going to take us a while. It was, we said probably at least $3 million to put that third tier on. I don't know that we'll get that kind of federal assistance. So I would ask that Metra, consider other alternatives in their long-range planning to replace that parking. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Well, folks, we've been at this for an hour and 49 minutes. Is there any other additional questions, comments from the audience? We get paid hourly. This is awesome. Anything from the City Council? Mr. Skofis, Mr. Payot, Mr. Tupper, thank you very much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you again and again and again.
Okay, thank you for having us.
And there's a sign up. I'm going to ask for a five-minute recess and encourage those who wish to receive an email through the email group regarding the third rail project to please complete the sign-up sheet that's at the door as you exit. So without objection, let's take a five-minute recess. Thanks. I can only assume that Mr. Collins is prepared to continue this meeting electronically, so we will continue as well. We jump to item four, ladies and gentlemen, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments tonight? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one single motion.
So moved.
Second.
Singer motions and Maladra seconds. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Aye.
You want to vote present?
It was aye, I assume.
You said here.
Aye.
Okay. Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
And William Barkley is somewhere?
Let the record show that Mr. Barkley is MIA.
He'll be back.
His vote will not be counted. Item number 10, municipal bills for payment. Mr. Clerk, I kindly ask for you to read the bills to be
paid. Bills for payment total $367,466.72.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read.
Second.
Brown motions to pay the bills as read, seconded by Mr. Hill. Mr. Clerk, please state the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Lakota? Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item number 11A is to consider approval of capital equipment financing with the State Bank of Geneva with the acquisition of two 2.5-ton dump trucks for the streets department and one brush pickup for the fire department for a combined total of $250,000.
Move approval.
Second.
Singer motions and Mr. God help us. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mr. Hill motions and Mr. Piper seconds. This item was obviously not supported in its entirety at the COW meeting. So are there any questions or comments for anybody regarding this matter? If not, I'll ask the clerk to please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-2. Correction, 6-2. Item 11B, consider ordinance number 2009-04, amending zoning ordinance exempting new subdivisions with more than 5 acres from lot and area requirements established for properties in residential area number 1.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Piper, seconded by Singer. This presentation was presented to us by Mr. Unch. I don't think there were any objections.
Yes.
Yeah, of course there was. would anybody like to speak to the matter before us?
I just want to state the reason for my objection. Is I just feel that you're still going to impact the residents around this 5-acre lot property design. So, and you're still going to end up driving down roads or streets, and you're going to have different separations. So I just feel that there would be an impact, even though I know Mr. Runch has stated that there should be or would be a lot of space between the homes. I still feel that there could not be, and I just can't support it. So thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Pollack.
Thank you. Dorothy, I had a call earlier in the week, or the end of last week, regarding this, saying, oh, this is for the developer, you know, why are you voting this way? And I said, it's not that it's for the developer or for the citizens. What we're looking at is a, and Dick, please step in if I say something wrong, it's a large parcel of land that is not subject to the same rules, if you will, regarding tear down and infill, because it will be creating its own development, and I specifically didn't say PUD, and by doing so, we actually have the control that would give us a latitude similar to that of the tear down and infill.
As I understand it, it would just have the underlying zoning requirements.
Correct. Correct.
So,
but the parcels were, but it's a minimum of 5 acres.
But it wouldn't be as restrictive as the tear down and infill. the teardown and infill have more restrictions than the underlying zoning.
Because a teardown and infill would have...
So that's my objection.
But wouldn't the teardown
and infill... I don't care about the developers.
But wouldn't the teardown and infill have greater impact on a one parcel lot versus something that's 5 acres? Because you're
creating...
You say
that, but I still think that it's still going to impact. You're creating neighborhoods within neighborhoods, kind of, I guess. Or you could look at it that way.
The encroachment on the existing neighborhood?
Yes, because if you have ranch houses and then all of a sudden you come up with two-story homes, you're still having... And there's a school of thought about Eagle Brook is different or has the same type of land use. I don't believe that, so...
All right, no, I was just interested in your opinion.
Thank you for your opinion.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Malato, then Mr. Piper.
I think... Well, I'm gonna support this because whereas the neighborhood will be changing, it's not necessarily being affected negatively by allowing the additional leeway the exemptions would bring. I think that the intent of the teardown and infill effort was never to stop change or to freeze a neighborhood the way it looks at that moment in time. It was to govern redevelopment in a neighborhood in such a way as to minimize negative impact and protect the fabric of the community. I think that these exemptions, with the way they're defined, still achieve that goal. Yes, there will be change, but a change is not by definition negative. And I think that staff has worked very hard to define criteria for the exemption that will minimize the negative effects of the change.
Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I agree with Alderman Roger. I think also the catch to this thing, in my mind, is not only 5 acres, but it's 5 acres on its own cul-de-sac, and that's gonna. It is a neighborhood within a neighborhood. If you want to break it down to that, but I think that makes a huge difference as to why we're not going with just a tear down and infill. I don't think it's going to have a negative impact, and I think that's really the kicker. It is its own street. It is its own little area.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm concerned about the effect of the new neighborhoods of whatever type of house is built in these 5 acre plus neighborhoods. The effect it might have on the assessed valuation of the existing homes. And I'm concerned that if the McMansion type of a home goes up, then behind or within sight of a smaller home, much smaller home, that it's going to cause an increase in the assessed valuation of that smaller home and affect the taxes of that small home owner. Therefore, I know that there's been a lot of work done on this, and I'm going to agree with Alderman Flanagan on the position.
Alderman Decoto.
Yes, I had some reservation about this issue. Unfortunately, I was not here last week to participate or hear the discussion. Part of my reservation is that the unintended consequences and situations that might come up in this thing that might not fall neatly into cul-de-sac and isolation of a neighborhood so that they would not have an impact on the surrounding neighborhood. But I'll still, in spite of my reservation, I'll give some credit to the discussion that I did not participate in, but I assume that the vote was 8-1 or 7-1 or whatever it was. So I'll go along with the majority in this case. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else from the dais? From the audience, Mr. Devine? You got to join us at the podium, big guy.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't able to join you last week and hear about this also. A question and a comment. My question is, do we know if the Salerno property off of Caneville Road is 5 acres or more, or is it under 5 acres?
It's just over.
Mr. Runch?
Which property are you speaking to? I'm sorry.
Well, if you're taking Caneville
Farm, Dick.
West.
Sorry?
If you're taking Caneville West, just past Lewis, on the south side of the street. There's a farmhouse there and a couple of farm-type buildings, but that property runs south back to the homes that are on Fargo.
I believe it is over 5 acres. I don't quote me on that, but...
I don't know off the top of my head.
Mr. Malone?
But that tear down and infill doesn't apply out there anyway. That's
no,
residential area too. So these
right.
exemptions would not apply out there.
So that wouldn't affect
would
this property one way or the other?
Oh, no. This is all the way further out. But
yeah.
It's not in the tear down infill regulatory area.
Okay, so this doesn't pertain to that property. Okay, well, that's fine. That answers that question. Then, I'm sorry, I forget who made the... I think it was Alderman Hill that made the comment about larger estate-type homes being built around, say, smaller homes. And I think we have that situation out off of Caneville, just a little past Wood Avenue on the south side. I think that's called Stonewood Glen, but I may be wrong. There's probably going to be... Don't hold me to this. I'm guessing 17 homes built in there in total. There's three there now. One just sold, according to the paper. The price was around $644,000. Well, that particular home backs up to one of the homes in Randall Square, or actually a couple. There's a cul-de-sac there. And I'm sure that that's going to affect the assessed valuation of those homes, you know, in Randall Square. The smaller ones, it's got to. You know, so I think Alderman Hill, if he was the one that brought that up, I think he's right on his assessment. You know, that's my comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? If not, we have a motion by Piper, a second by Mr. Singer to approve item 11B, as in boy. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Mary Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
William Barkley?
Aye.
The motion passes 7-2.
5 acres exactly.
7-2.
No, I just looked it up.
Sure.
It was a good question.
Item 11C, folks. Consider approval of intergovernmental agreement with the County of Kane and City of Batavia regarding access, right-of-way, and improvements for Fabian Parkway at Cambridge Drive to 1,500 feet west of Randall Road.
So moved.
Second.
Barkley motions and Dakota seconds. We had substantial discussion regarding this last Monday night. Are there any additional questions? Comments, Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe I was the one who voted against it because I wanted to see the map included in our package, which it was not, but I will vote for it tonight because I've had a chance to look at the map.
Anyone else? We have a motion by Barkley, a second by Mr. Dakota. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Marty Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
William Barkley?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
I don't know.
According to my notes, we're to new business. Gentlemen? In the audience, any new business? both Dantino and March look over their shoulders. From the council, any new business?
Yeah.
Alderman Dakota?
I just apologize to the group. As in the past, I've acquired several dollars and distributed Christmas this year. I'm sorry to say they were not available to me at the normal price that I pay for them. So I was not able to acquire them.
Frugal as you are.
I hope you all had a Merry Christmas.
Actually, Mr. Pollock gave us all four quarters. So it was nice.
It's called the spirit of Paul.
You can buy drinks tonight, Paul. Alderman Flanagan.
I don't think it's too early, but Pasta for Posies is coming up, our third annual now. Christopher Posey's March 4th, so everybody circle your calendars. We do have tickets available here at City Hall. Alderman Barkley's office is also offering tickets. Graham's, Olive Mill, and I don't have the information in front of me, so I can't remember all the other merchants, but excuse me, on the next City Council, I'll make sure I have a list in front of me. The price is the same, and we hope to see everybody out there.
What is this for?
Thank you.
Mr. Hill.
Brief comment, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope that the Pasta for Posies is as successful as the Dancing with the Geneva Stars.
It's sold out.
They're oversold. They've sold more tickets than what they had said they were going to.
The reason being, it's like a NASCAR. But everyone wants to see an accident or a crash.
Yeah, that's true. It's the MC, actually.
So. Anyone else, new business? Other than that, we will turn to Alderman Dakota.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Piper. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
9:20. Good night.